AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to be with you, Matt and Eric here. This week, when we started thinking about Trump's presidency, and we would joke and laugh about the idea of, you know, the stock market collapsing, the economy collapsing, people walking around with face masks because things are so bad. Did anyone really think, well, of course that's going to happen. How bad really could it get? Huh? How bad? If you've not seen the interview on Fox News with the guy, have you seen this one? The guy that came out of the quarantine?
No, I haven't seen this.
It's we've gotten into a point where it's parody amongst parody amongst parody. The guy who came out of the coronavirus quarantine during the interview with his child on his lap while the child is drinking a water bottle cannot stop coughing. The entire interview, he cannot stop coughing. And he keeps taking the water bottle from the child and drinking the water bottle and then giving it back to the child. And one guy posted and said, "Dear God, isn't this like the first scene in a zombie apocalypse, a disease disaster movie? You know, the how it starts, patient zero. I mean, isn't that seriously?"
Yeah, this is oaf zero.
And you the Fox News commentators are getting more and more like, "Oh my God.
Can I get out of the room with this guy?"
Well, no, they weren't even in the room with him. They were like, he was joining him from Pennsylvania. Well, I'm sure the cameraman in Pennsylvania was sure glad to be in that confined space.
Yeah, did the feed ever stop or did he just leave?
As the camera tilts down to the ground, the guy is like, "Sir, are you going to come back?" It's going to be like that Colin Powell moment. It is the Matt McNeil Show. We are coronavirus sensitive. We'll get to coronavirus here in just a moment. But I will say, if you're not deathly ill, coming up on Tuesday, we're going to be live over at the Park Tavern with Super Tuesday show. The Devil's Advocate guys are coming into town. And if you don't hear, the Devil Advocate show is a show we have here late at night here on AM 950. And these guys have gone, are they in South Carolina for today or tomorrow rather?
I believe they're on tour right now. I don't know where they are.
Someone told me, it was Brett that told me, these guys have gone to every state the night they've had the caucus and or primary. So these guys are putting some miles on the road. Obviously, Iowa. They're from Milwaukee, so Iowa's not that bad. But then they must have gotten to New Hampshire, then to Nevada. I'm going to presume they're in South Carolina. Maybe they are. I don't know. But they're going to be here on Super Tuesday. And so we're going to be live. Now, what the lineup is on Super Tuesday, I'm going to be here starting at 6 o'clock. We might actually have some early results from some of the states on Super Tuesday. And some of the early states that close on the East Coast, we might actually have some results in that first hour. Hopefully Jeff Stein going to join us as well in the first hour. Then we're going live to the Park Tavern starting at 7 o'clock. We're going to be there till 11 or so. I'll be out there. Brett will be out there. Of course, all the Devil's Advocate guys will be there. It's free to get in. There is no ticket for this. You can just come and join us. We're going to have some food out there. We'll have drink specials. Make sure you stop on by and have a good time with us. It will be fascinating. Here is what I'm going to peg to you guys, because for what it's worth, am I a political pundit? I follow the news, and I try to educate myself. I'm not like some of these guys. I don't think Stein is actually a very intelligent political guy. I don't consider myself in the realm of him. But if I'm just to step back here and say, what do I expect to happen? My gut feeling is going to be that, well, Biden's going to win tomorrow. I mean, I cannot see Biden not winning and winning big in South Carolina. Which brings in an interesting point. I mean, at some point, the amount of candidates that are left are not doing anyone any favors, okay? They're really not. And with all due respect to Steyer and Klobuchar and Buttigieg, none of you guys seem to have a path left to get there. I don't see you having a path. Whether or not them staying in the race is hurting another candidate remains to be seen. But if Biden mops up in South Carolina, and so you're now down to really Bernie, Biden, Bloomberg, and I think Warren still.
Even Warren, I don't really see.
She's going to have Massachusetts. I think she's going to take Massachusetts on Super Tuesday.
Maybe.
And Massachusetts is a good, big state. I mean, that's. I mean, it's. Of course, once again, Marco Rubio took Minnesota. If I only remember that. Yeah. That was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in my life. Really? Really? That is a Jeopardy question. That's the $2,000 jobber. I mean, that is a $2,000 jobber. Who did Minnesota go for in the Republican primary in 2016? That is the only state he won. Wow. But needless to say, I mean, it's. I think Warren still has a path, and this is what I'm saying. Does she have a path? Yes, she does. She does have a path. It's a fleeting path. I mean, it's starting to overgrow the trail pretty quickly here. But I mean, if she holds well in South Carolina, she wins in Massachusetts, and then maybe pulls off one or two other shockers on Super Tuesday. All right, wait a minute here. Now, I mean, she might be a path, and I still think that there are elements within the Democratic Party that if it's Bernie or Warren, they'll quickly jump on the Elizabeth Warren bandwagon. So it comes down to a case where, who will be the last person standing against Bernie, because that person's going to get a lot of other people. The Klobuchar people, not many of them, I think, are going to jump on the Bernie wagon. I think they're going to jump on either Biden or Bloomberg or Warren. Buttigieg. I don't see a lot of the Buttigieg people jumping on the Bernie bandwagon. I think that they'll kind of go like this. So this is what I'm talking about. It's like there are people that are in on Super Tuesday that really don't have a path. And once again, and I'm sorry, I know Amy Klobuchar is beloved in the state. She's a great senator. She's done enough to raise her awareness to where she definitely could be a cabinet-level position appointee on a Democratic president. We'll have to see. I think she does a very good job in the Senate. I will say this. It was very interesting reading the Huffington Post this morning. They finally figured out that she's been pretty darn quiet about the sulfide mining up in the BWCA. And there is a pretty, a pretty stark column about the fact that she hasn't even, that if you're a Democrat, that should be a no-brainer in my mind that you're against sulfide mining. And the fact that she hasn't been very outspoken in her own state against it is, I think, pretty, that's something that I thought was interesting. Biden wins tomorrow. You get, Bernie is going to win some of these states. I mean, he just is. Even though they're primaries and he does better generally in caucuses than primaries. He's
California
going,
to me looks locked.
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, I just don't see, the only thing that we can't really determine is whether or not the Bloomberg factor. I mean, dear God, has the turnaround time that guy took after that debate, that atrocious debate performance where he got taken to task by Elizabeth Warren for, the non-disclosure agreement for women. From that point, within 12 or 14 hours, he had an ad about how he stands for women and women's rights and women's issues with some big heavy hitters out of New York. People, women that are holding, pretty high up positions sitting talking about how Bloomberg's a leader. That was fast. that sunrise you see in the ad is that morning sunrise. That's insane.
I guess it benefits to hire just everybody.
You have that much money. I mean, it just, who here wants to buy a country? I mean, you can do that. And by the way, Bloomberg, you might want to see if is Luxembourg for sale. I mean, you could make yourself your own king, dude, knock yourself out. But that being said, California, boy, I mean, his appeal with Latino voters is Texas as well. And this is we talked about this with Stein on Wednesday. If you've got California and Texas within your pocketbook. You know, you need to pull some big states, the rest of the big states, Ohio and Pennsylvania and New York and Illinois. You need to pull those states into yours just to compete. And it's going to be interesting. I think by the end of Super Tuesday, we'll have to determine, are there going to be two or three? Bloomberg said he's going to stay until the end. So there's going to be three candidates.
I think all these guys are just hoping for a brokered convention, and then someone will be like, oh, I like you a lot. We'll pick you.
Well,
I don't know what they're planning.
Well, it's, you know, he gets the delegates. You know, there are going to be a lot of Bernie delegates there. And I don't know. Bernie is not a lock yet. And I mean, it's a, you know, before anyone says, oh, he's a lock, he's not a lock. And what he is benefiting from this time around is that the other side has so many candidates still left, that the outside of Elizabeth Warren, all the moderate Democrats, there are four of them still running. And so it's kind of interesting to see if, when that trims down, how that does affect this race. Could I see the next week after Super Tuesday, when you have a bunch of states that are there up for grabs, could I see all of a sudden Biden, if he comes out of South Carolina, does well in Super Tuesday, could I see him become a big winner and all of a sudden the, you know, the coronation of Bernie is not there? Now, I kind of, to a point, hope this kind of ends quickly, because, dear God, I can only imagine what this is going to be like when you get, if it's a close race again, and you know, say, you know, and forget about, regardless of what you want to think, say legitimately Biden wins the thing, and he wins it by 20 points, whatever, you know, he wins by 20 points. Dear Lord, I can't, I do not look forward to that. But at the same time, I am of the mindset, I don't think they do a brokered convention, especially if Bernie does well in California and Texas and picks up, say, Florida, picks up New York, there's no path. And at that point, you're really starting to make a lot of big states really angry. I mean, it depends on how close they are. I mean, your argument in California would be that if Bernie only wins by, say, 3 or 4 points, and then Biden and Buttigieg and Klobuchar and Bloomberg all do, you know, are within, you know, they make up 60-65% of the vote. Well, that's going to be your argument, is that the majority of people in California wanted a moderate. But most of the people in California don't want it's Warren, I think, is going to probably be really good in California.
And also the second choice for a lot of other voters is not necessarily another moderate. Like, you look at Biden, I believe most polls are saying second choice would be Bernie.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point it's Bernie's to lose. But if South Carolina goes bad, I mean, that was always, you know, Biden's firewall. If it goes really bad for the rest of the candidates and people are pulling out of the race before Super Tuesday, you know, I'll say this, there are at least three candidates that have no money. I don't know how you're even going to get to the next state at this point.
Just moving on inertia.
That all being said, as that's just wild speculation for you for the first segment of today, I will say this. I have put out feelers to every campaign. We are a Super Tuesday state. We are the only progressive radio station in Minneapolis, St. Paul. It is the largest state in one of the Super Tuesday, or city, one of the largest city in the one of the Super Tuesday states. The only campaign I've heard back from is Warren. I do think I will probably have a surrogate for Warren on Monday. I'm going to leave it open if I get anyone else. It will be a bad sign if I get someone from the Klobuchar campaign. She goes, I've always been a real progressive, really. Oh, God.
I mean, she's got an event on Sunday. You'd think she'd want
to put someone. Bernie's got an event on Tuesday night. And
Monday night.
Monday night, yeah. Bernie's going to have it be in town for that. I mean, I'll let you know. I mean, because I get this grief from these people. It's like, why aren't you having this person on? I've asked. I'm asking. I've got the door open. They just don't seem that interested, and I can't force them. And, I mean, I could bring a Bernie fan on just as a listener, but, I, you know, I you know. I'd rather not go down that path if I didn't have to. I'd rather not do that if I didn't have to. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Let's talk a little coronavirus and the mythical world we should be living in when I do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Located just north of 50th and France, the Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, they offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include hot and sour soup, pan-fried dumplings, and mushu pork with homemade Chinese pancakes. Stop by their Edina location or call for takeout at 952-927-4439. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
As a family-owned business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has been serving the Twin Cities since 1930. A new furnace or air conditioner from Standard Heating and Air can lower your monthly utility bills, administer more consistent temperatures, and even improve indoor air quality, making your home safer and healthier for the whole family. The average heating and cooling system lasts 15 to 20 years. So if yours is on its last legs, call Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
You want a fast way to save hundreds of dollars? It's easy with Rudy Luther Toyota. Start with the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores, as well as discounted car washes. Plus, Rudy Luther offers 2 years of maintenance included with every new Toyota purchase. And remember, Rudy Luther Toyota wants to buy your cars and trucks, paying you top dollar. Find out how much you can save by visiting Rudy Luther Toyota today, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hello, fellow AM 950 listeners. This is Jason from Nightingale at 26 in Lindale. Come experience our delicious signature dishes and exciting rotation of inventive seasonal fare for my wife and chef, Carrie, and her team. Nightingale is the perfect place to gather for any occasion with our extensive wine, beer, and cocktail selection, along with our dedication to great service. We offer a full menu every day from 4 to 1 a.m., two award-winning daily happy hours, and weekend brunch at 10. More at nightingalempls.com.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. It's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to, you know, South Carolina is a guy that's been, I spend a lot of time down there. Now, once again, my family has really no connection to South Carolina outside of my brother lives down there, and my parents started vacationing over the winter down there. They fell in love with it. They're right on the coast in Beaufort, and they moved down there themselves a few years ago. So I've been going down there recently. It will be interesting. I will be fascinated to see where Tulsi Gabbard ends up. That is the most, that for me, just as a little bit of a political wonk, as a guy, like I said, when I've gone down there, I went down there twice last year. I went down there two times the year before. Tulsi Gabbard's billboards were everywhere down there.
Interesting. I know someone who lived in New Hampshire, or lives in New Hampshire, and they were saying the same thing about Tulsi Gabbard. She didn't perform that well.
She didn't, yeah. Well, I don't know if she's a Democrat. She seems to be a Trump Republican. Observational, you know, comment here. All right, so I want to give you, I'm going to try my best to give you what we should be hearing from the White House right now. All right, I'm going to, my fellow Americans, it has come to the attention of this administration that there is a global crisis out there that we should all be concerned about. Coronavirus, starting in China, has spread very quickly to the rest of the world, including cases here in the United States. I want to assure the people of the United States that we here in America are taking this very seriously. We are going to implement screening processes in all airports to deal with any flight coming from a country where there has been a reported case of coronavirus. We will also have immediate quarantines for anyone that comes in the United States who is displaying signs of being sick. That quarantine is non-negotiable. That will happen. We are, of course, as well, are also working with the CDC and the Health and Human Services Department to try to get as much information as we can to possibly figure out some sort of, the basic information where you can basically find out if there's what treatment works best and where does it come from and can we create an inoculation against the coronavirus. Needless to say, I think at this point we should expect, though, many people in the United States to potentially come down with the coronavirus. The good news is that the coronavirus so far seems to be mild in most cases. That is not in about 2%, and we are going to take these very seriously. We have been in touch with the medical community and expect that we are here as the White House to fulfill any needs they have to try to help nationwide, regardless of whether it's a small hospital out in the country or a major metropolitan medical center. We are on top of it and working with them. It doesn't mean that this won't impact us, and I am not going to sit here and tell you to go on outside and go shop and go to restaurants and go to stores if you are not comfortable with that. That is your right to not have to go out there. It might mean the economy goes down, but the reality is we want to keep everyone safe. So in the end, we are going to work here with 3M and Honeywell in creating respirators, getting those up, because people seem to want those. They're sold out pretty much everywhere, as well as also anything else that we can help you with. We are there. Understand, if you are sick, do not go to work. We will actually talk to the Department of Labor about rules we can put into place to where people who are sick, who do not go to work, have their jobs preserved, because I think it's much better for us as a country to not have a sick person with coronavirus working in an environment with other people. We'll get through this, people. We'll get through this together. I trust the CDC, I trust the Department of Health and Human Services, I trust the scientists that have led this country with innovation over the last 200 years, and I trust that we as Americans, we can get through this together. Thank you very much, and all my best. Have we had anything like that? I am not the President of the United States, nor, for God's sakes, do I ever want to be. But have we had anything like that? The first words out of his mouth were, "Thank God I'm here because I've stopped us all from dying from coronavirus. You're welcome." I'm paraphrasing, but it's pretty close, much on point. No one in this administration is taking this seriously. And before conservative guy goes, "Matt, what are you talking about? We just had a press conference with Vice President Pence, and he is now the point person, and he's brought in Dr. Munchen and Dr. Kudlow from the finance department to help out with his case." My God, Matt. Of course things are a little scary, but things are under control. Well, if things are under control, then can someone explain to me why next Thursday the vice president is going to be in town for a Keep America Great rally in downtown St. Paul next week? If you are the point person for a coronavirus task force within the federal government, what the hell are you going on the campaign trail for? Shouldn't you be, I don't know, trying to keep America safe as opposed to campaign? Don't tell me that the administration's taking this seriously when the guy who they put in charge of this is not even going to be in charge of it because he's going to be out campaigning for the president. It's embarrassing how bad things are getting here. And there has been no leadership, no seriousness. For God's sakes, the story came out last night after we got off the air after the CDC was pretty much told to sit down and shut up because Donald Trump is here. Like he can somehow impress the virus away from infecting people. They went, and reminder, the CDC specifically told the president, do not bring those people back into the United States from that cruise ship. We are not prepared for that. Leave them in Japan where they're at. It is the best option to treat these people, and it's the safest option for us. Now we find out that not only did we bring these people back against the CDC's wishes, that there were people that did not have the proper safety equipment, and we did not have the proper, you know, transportation to keep these people safe. So people that were exposed to the coronavirus were brought back, and then those people were just allowed to leave and go back home. Undeniably, I think we have got, or it's already everywhere. I really do think this. It takes a while for it to ramp up, but I kind of get the impression it's everywhere already. And
if you look at the number of tests they've done so far, too, it's only like 400 across the entire United States.
And they've got 8,000 people in quarantine over in California. They've got a whole bunch of people in New York now under quarantine. Someone brought up the point. He says, do you understand that the federal government at no point slapped down trips from Italy from the airlines? That and that's why, I mean, it went, once it got to Italy and it got into a tourist area in Italy, that's when it started going everywhere. It's now in Africa. It's now in New Zealand. And we had flights in from Italy for a week without anyone even batting an eye because there's no leadership. We have a truly grotesque human being as president of the United States by design. And I'll explain that when I do come on back. But dear God, this idea that anything positive has to be praised Trump for, anything negative that happens with this, it's the Democrats' fault. What in the hell's wrong with you people? Act like you're leaders. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. If I
don't feel your arms wrapped... Did you realize that Drink in the Style is available on iTunes, Google Play, and pretty much every other podcast platform out there? You can listen to past episodes of Drink in the Style, or maybe download our really cool martini glass graphic, or just listen to your favorite episode again and again. But if you do, I need to ask you for a quick favor. Hop online and give us a 5-star rating. It helps others find the show and also boosts my fragile ego. Drink in the Style. It's a great way to kill Sundays or really any time at all.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. Our station has worked with Barbara from WYSIWYG Web Design for years on everything from logo to print design and especially for developing our website. She does great work and is great to work with, listening to what our goals and design ideas were while offering new, innovative ideas to create the website we are proud of today. Barbara made sure she understood our station, our goals, and our mission before she started working on our site and made suggestions to help control the cost. Plus, she's friendly, which set us at ease. I recommend Barbara at WYSIWYG Web Design because I know she will deliver an attractive, professional website within the budget you have. She is a local independent business that specializes in helping other local businesses achieve their website and design goals. She can work with nearly any budget and create anything from simple sites to robust custom functionality. To find out more about the company AM950 Trust, go to WYSIWYGWebDesign.com. Spelled out just like it sounds, WYSIWYGWebDesign.com.
I'm Rick Unger. You've heard the screamers, you've heard the shouters, the haters, the beraters. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation, a rational conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Listen to the Rick Unger Show every weekday from 5 to 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stream at am950radio.com or search KTNF on the TuneIn app.
Located just south of downtown Minneapolis, the Blaisdell is the perfect venue for your next event. The Blaisdell is a fresh, modern, newly remodeled historic mansion with spaces that can accommodate groups of 25 to 700. While perfect for weddings, the Blaisdell also includes rooms with high-tech audio and video equipment for your company's next gathering. So whether it's a dream wedding or impressing colleagues and clients, choose the Blaisdell as your next event venue. Select dates are still available. More at theblaisdell.com.
By the way, I should mention, too, Friday Fish Fries. I forgot to St. Albert. Great. I'm not going to go over there today. I'm actually going to go to St. Gabe's and Hopkins here. And the reason why I got to do something tonight and on the west side, so I don't have time to get over to the south side. But I'm already going to be hitting St. Gabe's, IHM's, St. Albert the Great. If you've got a Friday Fish Fry, as a Catholic here, this is one of my favorite times of the year. Love the Friday Fish Fries. Let me know here at the radio station. Any way you can about the Friday Fish Fries you've got going on, I will swing on by. I will enjoy. 952-946-6205. The Minnesota Department of Health is investigating a possible case of coronavirus. A spokesperson from the MDH says the department is waiting for test results from the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. The department said the person had traveled abroad, however, did not specifically say where they had visited. According to MDH, the person had isolated themselves from others. If the tests come back positive, the department said the person will stay quarantined. The people he or she has been in contact with recently will also be contacted, and they'll also be quarantined. Minnesota Department of Health added there may be additional requirements. Four other COVID-19 cases were previously sent to the CDC from Minnesota, but they came back negative. We want to make sure Minnesotans are aware that when we look at what's happening globally with the disease, we're seeing increased activity and increased spread. And that means it's very likely the coronavirus could actually affect our daily lives as Minnesotans. The health department said the virus is confirmed. If the virus is confirmed in Minnesota and spreads, there'll be multiple tools in its toolbox, which could potentially include closing schools, canceling public gatherings, and possibly requesting faith communities hold services via video. Okay, which is interesting. I will say that that's one of the things as a parent, I'm just myself. One of the things I am most concerned about, I've got a son who's going to graduate here from high school, and I don't all of a sudden want the school shut down on April, and like, what do we do here? Schools began planning for the COVID-19 outbreak. The message came from Chris Esmond, the director of the Minnesota Department of Health. Something that has seemed remote and kind of focused in a healthcare setting with the increasing of transmitted globally, we need to really make sure that people are aware this virus could now impact their daily lives. Other officials from the Minnesota Department of Health have begun reaching out to schools and businesses to make sure they have plans in place. For example, it becomes necessary to temporarily close schools. Former CDC officials say don't worry about domestic air travel. That we want to make sure, thinking about this both, that you're aware of this and many impact how it may affect your work. I'm not sure exactly. Well, I'm not sure exactly where that sentence was going, but I will say this: the most schools, I think, a lot of schools have technology that they give kids. I know this. In my kid's school district, they do get an iPad, and they get it in junior high. So there is that potential. I don't know what you do with elementary school kids, because you generally don't give iPads to kindergartners on that level.
Although I was doing tutoring for a couple years before this, and I think most of the elementary students had iPads.
You know, you hope that they have enough of that at home, but we'd have to see. That's actually one of the big questions I have. Needless to say, this is a complicated issue. And we need to look at this from and part of the brilliance of modern medicine is we used to have this sort of thing happen all the time. Go to a cemetery that has a family in it from the 1880s, 1890s, 1900s. Go look at the 9 kids they had and 3 made it. And that's what we used to have. I mean, it happened to my own family. My goodness, my grandmother had, when she was a kid, a brother who died of scarlet fever. You know, it was, and you know, that was just what it was like. And then a lot of things happened after the influenza outbreak of 1918. And we kind of realized we cannot treat this stuff, just shrug our shoulders. And no, Woodrow Wilson did not walk out and say, you guys are only bringing up the influenza outbreak because you guys are trying to defeat me in an election. The only reason that the flu is happening is because Democrats want it to happen. Actually, he was a Democrat. Republicans want it to happen. And no, it's the reality is that we need leadership at this point, which brings me to why this is the worst president we could possibly have. And it comes down to why do Trump fans like him? I mean, I was looking at the poll today about the farmers. Farmers still overwhelmingly support this guy, even though he has wiped out their markets. Which then say to yourself, okay, why do you guys like him? You know, why do you vote for Trump? Is it taxes? Not really. I mean, no. Is it babies? No, you guys are for de-wombing fetuses. You don't care about the baby before it comes out. You sure as heck don't care about babies after they come out of the womb. So, no, that's not it. Is it guns? Is it guns? Maybe. You guys, there are a lot of people that love their guns more than anything else on this planet, which is just sick. There's something wrong with you. Is it Christianity? I don't know. Maybe for some. I mean, there's a lot of people on the right that have to read the Bible. I mean, I would recommend reading it. The book you claim to represent, you might want to read it. It's a hoot, especially Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Just read those four chapters. You'll have some questions about your own decisions after that. But the reality is the reason why these people love Trump is because he's just a belligerent jackass that loves to insult his enemies. And that's what they really like. That right there is the most important thing for Republicans today. Calling their perceived enemies, Democrats, progressives, African Americans, Latinos, any minority, any different religion, the LGBTQ community, being able to insult them and mock them and make fun of them. Trump is just, he saw that before anyone else. He saw that these people don't care about any damn thing. As long as they can just talk about those libtard metrocrats in the big city, talk about, you know, racially tinged comments about African Americans and Latinos, a guy that's going to go out there and put those people back in their place like they belong, that kind of thing, that is the most important thing for all these people. And it gets you to a point of how do you get a president who, before the virus outbreak has really gotten going, has basically taken credit for saving everyone. That you've got Don Jr. out there screaming about how the Democrats want millions of people to die. That you have Chief of Staff Mulvaney was out today talking about this whole thing is made up. You can't scream this away. You can't just belligerently scream this away and think it's going to make things better. The reality is that we have a president who does not care about the people. He cares about his image. His by far his biggest priority right now is to try to get his talking point about the stock market. He could care less about people dying of coronavirus. As long as the stock market's doing great, he has his bragging point. And this is the absolute worst human being you could ever have in charge of a crisis like this. I don't know how you fight it, because he knows the true id of the modern Republican, that they want to scream the N-word more than anything. And like Biff from Back to the Future, pat himself on the back for doing so. And that is the most important thing. Nothing else matters to these people. The ability for them to mock and insult the people they don't like is their driving force. And their God is Trump. So that's how you get yourself into a situation like this. That's how you get yourself into a point where it's just, I don't know how you get yourself out of it. I don't. Outside of the fact that you got to unify and basically throw this guy out. He's never going to believe he lost. His supporters are never going to believe he lost. They're all going to make up. They're all going to make up the fact that nothing he did was bad. Everything he did was great. Everything the Democrats did was bad. There's nothing you can do. All you can do is put your head down and basically drive forward and hope that it doesn't take, I don't know, God forbid. 40 million Republican voters dying of coronavirus, or at least getting sick with coronavirus, before they start realizing maybe the guy that basically just wants me to scream about my illness at Democrats doesn't have my best interests in mind. Maybe. Just maybe. 952-946-6205. And by the way, if you want proof of this, did you see the Garth Brooks thing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Sanders shirt.
Barry Sanders. By the way, do you ever watch Barry Sanders when he played football for the Lions?
Yeah, I saw him. Great.
The best ever. I mean, the way that he would convince people he was going one way and his legs were taking him another. Unbelievable. God, I hated that guy because he just made the Vikings look. He made good Vikings defenses look bad. Yeah, you know, he was great. And so he does Garth Brooks, country star, and I kind of like Garth Brooks. Garth Brooks does a show in Detroit. He wears a Barry Sanders jersey. So what does it say on cross? Sanders. But it's clearly a Lions jersey. It would, you know, a person, common sense person would say this. People's like, he's got a Bernie Sanders jersey on. Oh,
I remember he's playing for the Lions.
Yeah, I remember when Bernie Sanders was a Lions. I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to go left. I'm going to go right. You're going to throw the ball to me, and I'm going to spike it in the end zone. Go Lions. I don't think Bernie Sanders played for the Detroit Lions. Needless to say, apparently a lot of Republican voters didn't realize it either. So they immediately, what did they do? Vilified Garth Brooks for wearing a Barry Sanders jersey. These people are broken. You can't fix them. Don't try to convince. We just, you know, and it was the dumbest decision. Any Democrat that went out there and said, we just got to convince a handful of these guys that are just going to vote with us. They never were going to. They never were going to. Never were. And that is shame on you guys. And shame on you guys for thinking that you could, that was some sort of, by selling out the Democratic Party to some sort of idea of compromise. I've said this before. I'll say it again. Imagine politics is two neighboring farm fields that are huge, okay? And you're a moderate Democrat, and you look way across your own field, and you see other Democrats over there, but they're way far away. And nearby is a fence, and on the other side of the fence is a Republican. And you say to yourself, I'm a lot closer to that Republican than I am to those guys on the other side of the field. I'll just try to go over there and work. And the thing you just don't seem to understand is the guy on the other side of the fence hates you with the fire of a million suns and wants to kill you. But you think you can compromise with that. And you turn your back on your own party and you go over there and you try to shake hands with the guy who wants you dead. And because you're so desperate to prove your fake Mr. Smith goes to Washington world still exists, you will take being a co-sponsor on some tertiary bill no one cares about so that you can say, see, I worked with the other side. Didn't get anything in regards to the concentration camps on the border or stopping the taxes from going up for all of us so we can pay for tax breaks for millionaires and billionaires or starting another war. But hey, I gotta save a raccoon species that was almost extinct. Aren't I great? Bipartisanship. Just stop. These people don't, they're broken. This is, Trump represents who these people really are. And the only way they're going to learn their lesson is to have Trump take everything from them. And they still probably won't learn it. So let's move on. Everyone vote. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. When I come back, VFW story. It's been a while since I talked about my experience with VFW. I'll talk about that when I come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio. On February 29th, we talk with the author of Big Farms Make Big Flu. Rob Wallace believes that regenerative farming can help prevent the spread of viruses. On March 7th, we talk with the new executive director of Minnesota 350, Sam Grant, about permaculture, climate justice, and more. On March 7th, we're going to be talking with the founder of Be Safe Minneapolis and owner of Minnehaha Landscaping about how to transition to regenerative yards and gardens. So tune in live on Saturdays at 8 a.m. or if you miss any shows, listen to the podcast, am950radio.com.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I've been a craftsman for more than 25 years. My company has been awarded more than 5 national awards for craftsmanship. You won't find somebody who loves their job more than me. I've devoted my life to my family, my craft, my business, and to the people who trust me with their projects. And I'm happier for doing it. Visit NICKSLAVIK.com to learn more.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than just serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable. Serving part-time lets you attend school full-time while you take advantage of education benefits that can help you graduate debt-free. If a civilian career is your goal, serving part-time allows you to work at a full-time job. The skills, qualities, and contacts you'll develop in the Guard can open doors to a great civilian career. Want to serve but worried about being away from friends and family? Part-time service in the Army National Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want while you enjoy the many benefits of serving your community and nation. You owe it to yourself to learn more about how the Army National Guard can fit into your life. Visit NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us this week for Minnesota Matters, a news, entertainment, and sports show covering everything that matters in the North Star State. Tune us in right here or at your convenience at MinnesotaNewsNetwork.com.
Listen to Minnesota Matters every weekend, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Matt is in South Minneapolis. He wanted to chime in on the Trump supporters. Matt, thanks for holding. Welcome on into the show.
Hey, Matt. It was great to see you at the Blue Staple this past weekend.
Indeed, sir. Good to see you as well.
I want to say Hillary Clinton was spot on when she called them a basketful of deplorables. And with that, I'll say, get out and vote this Tuesday. Make sure your neighbors vote. Make sure everyone is going out and voting. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you very much, Citizen X.
Thank you very much, Matt. I will say this. It's about time I think we realized Hillary Clinton, the reason why she called them a basketball full of deplorables is that she saw this coming years ago. She saw exactly what was going on and what Trump represented, just the worst, the ugliest elements of humanity, which the Republican voter really wanted to get back to. They wanted to get back to screaming the N-word in the streets, or using the W word for Latinos, or using the F word for gays. That's what they really wanted to do. And he just basically said, I'll let you do it. And anyone gets upset, they're the namby-pambies. And he validated them. And that is the most important thing for them. Most important thing. The Wadena VFW features beer, ribeye steak, and the good old sign out front that says the following: you can't stand for the national anthem. You don't need to sit in this bar. If you already know the context of the sign, you probably know how you feel about it. But here's a quick recap. Back in 2018, a wave of football stars inspired by Colin Kaepernick started taking a knee during the national anthem to protest racism and police brutality, which existed and still do. Kaepernick told the press it wasn't about to show pride in a country where black and brown people are routinely oppressed. The movement started making headlines. People started calling Kaepernick unpatriotic, accusing him of dissing veterans. Trump weighed in. In the backlash was so severe, the NFL created a new rule requiring players to stand if they're on the field during the anthem. Kaepernick is out of the league, but this protest is alive and well. Minnesota Teacher of the Year, Kelly Holstein, recently took a knee during the college national championship football game. This is all to say it wasn't that surprising when VFW manager Cody Boyer got a complaint about the sign on Tuesday, as reported by the Wadena Pioneer Journal. A woman told Boyer she found it pretty racist. Boyer wasn't available for interview requests, but told the Pioneer Journal his patrons love the sign. If anything, he thinks it's the VFW's gain customers because of it. We told them people to we screamed the N-word. Yeah! And tell me I'm wrong.
I think you're right, and I think he's right, too, that he probably does gain customers from that sign.
Absolutely. Abso-freaking-lutely. It's more important for me to tell those people what I really think about them than anything else. Matter of fact, I'd like to get a bigger sign, he said. Woman also took a complaint directly to the sponsor of the sign, Grain Belt Beer, which is brewed by Shell's Brewery out of New Ulm. To be clear, Shell's hadn't made the sign. It was the work of a third-party distributor of the beer, and the brewer hadn't gotten a say-so. The company told Boyer it wanted no part of it, though not for the reason you'd think. Shortly after the story was published, Shell's vice president, Kyle Marty, told the Pioneer Journal the company didn't approve of the banner, not because of its central message, but of its wording. The word can't kind of made it sound like he was referring to people with literally physically could not stand up for the anthem, so people with disabilities. He didn't want people thinking Shell's was discriminating against disabled folks. The opportunity for misrepresentation is too high, especially in today's political climate.
That is so woke.
Yes. Wait a minute here. Shell Brewery, you have no problem with if it's geared towards black people to shut up and stand up. And you're okay with that. But verbiage-wise, you know, it could have been a little cleaner, so that's your biggest
inclusive.
Pro? Yeah. The Facebook comments section's local news website picked up the story. Awesome, let the cupcakes go somewhere else. God bless America. Once again, another piece of proof that I'm exactly right. We don't have to stand. It's not in the Constitution. The fuzz was because an African-American man knelt first. He was right. Still is. Third person put forward. Forrest said, is the national anthem constantly playing in your bars? Oh, here it is again. Okay, up we go.
Just a loop.
Well, reminder, these are the same people that wear flags all over themselves but said that you have to respect the flag. And so pasting it over their caboose in a pair of shorts, I mean, that's nothing says respect more than that. This brings up an interesting thing. And once again, it's the VFW. They can do what they want. I actually used to be a member of the VFW. And I was actually in a leadership position within the VFW. And one of the things that happened was up in Little Falls, the VFW up there was one of those places that welcomed in the anti-Muslim speakers. Now, funny story, I'm a veteran. And as a veteran, I know that in Arlington National Cemetery, as well as other national cemeteries, including Fort Snelling, there are gravestones in those cemeteries where Muslims are buried. Muslims who fought for America. And they're in all of our national cemeteries. They are brave American patriots who have fought for the United States. I did not take kindly to an organization who is supposed to be for the veterans welcoming in an organization to talk about how certain veterans, I don't know, should be dug up out of the graveyard and have their bodies chucked over the fence because that was America. Needless to say, the woman I talked to at the Little Falls VFW was a belligerent jackass, and she really was truly a horrible person. She had no problem with it. She thought it was like, they shouldn't be here. I mean, that was kind of things. And she said some other things which were bad, but I needless to say, went back to the National VFW and said, are you guys going to allow this? I mean, these are veterans we're talking about here. I mean, if a Muslim veteran walked into that bar, you know, would they be kicked out of a VFW? Never heard anything back. I just said, okay, I'm going to walk away from the organization. Because I don't tolerate racism. I just don't. I mean, and you know, especially when you go out of your way to tolerate racism. And that's kind of the whole point here. This guy in Wadena, he's going to be fine. You know why? Because Eric's exactly right. He's probably he's resonating with them. He's like, telling those black people what we really should be doing. You know, that is who these people are. They want to insult, demean, diminish their perceived enemies more than anything else. And so this is really who they are. They don't care about God. They don't care about their family. They don't care about their children. They don't care about their job. They don't care about their health. They don't care about their home. They only want to be able to scream, damn Democrats, or whatever other word they want to scream. That is who they are. And for God's sakes, not only do we vote on Tuesday, we vote in November. We have to. We are back on a Monday. Have a good weekend, everyone. Until then, see ya.